Welcome back to the Mississippi Artist to Artist podcast. We're still on break, but while we're on break, we wanted to celebrate Black History Month by going back and re-airing all of the interviews we've been honored to have so far by Mississippi Black artists. It's important to celebrate these things throughout the year, but right now we need to take the time and recognize the history that Black artists have in Mississippi and the inclusive future we're all building together. So, without any more time wasted, let's get to the interview. Hey everyone, and welcome back to Spotlight On. This week we have a special guest, Amber Henry. She's a Mississippi artist and has a ton of stuff going on. So I'm excited to jump into all of that and really let her share all about it to you. Amber, welcome to the podcast. Thank you for being on with us. And why don't you tell us a little bit about your background growing up in Mississippi and your background in art?
Yeah, Derek, thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be on here today to discuss things related to my life with you all. So I grew up in a small town called Soso, Mississippi. And I know a lot of people have not heard of it, and it's spelled S-O-S-O. I grew up here. I was a tomboy growing up, so I wasn't like the girly girl. I spent a lot of time outdoors, climbing trees, making mud castles, and riding bikes. All those things that rough and tumble girls do, and with art. So I started drawing at a young age. That was my introduction into sort of creative pursuits. And my mother, she took art classes at Jones County Junior College when I was young. And that was kind of where I got my spark to start drawing. What I drew was like basic landscape starting out. You know, I followed the little, I looked at those, you know, those drawing books that you can buy from the stores. They have like frogs and zebras and all these little animals and landscapes you can draw. So I had my hand at that, but I found that I had a niche in portraits. And so I would draw like family portraits. I would get a picture and kind of not copy, but do my rendition of what the picture was. So yeah, drawing portraits. Let's see. And eventually that developed into me doing pyrography, which is wood burning. And that's my highest physical artistic pursuit to date is wood burnings.
Now your wood burning pieces, I've seen a couple of them that are one piece, but the majority of them are separate pieces. So it's not just a flat piece of art. It's a dimensional piece of art that pops off the wall for you. It's a wood burned background. And then normally, what was it? A portrait on top of that, that's been burned and separated and then attached. And there's a lot involved in it. It's really interesting and really neat to look at. And I like how you mentioned that you were a tomboy growing up, and your art, the wood burning, it has a masculine energy to it. They're strong geometrics, the deeper colors, really, really interesting. When did you how did wood burning just jump into your life? Or
wow. So I went to school for mechanical engineering. So that kind of explains like the collage aspect of my wood burning, because they have mechanical elements in them. But first of all, how did I get into wood burning? So I was looking for different ways. So, okay, it's going to develop. I worked in a male dominated workplace. Okay. And so I wanted to find a way that I could give some type of gift to them that they would appreciate, because I'm always trying to find ways that I can, you know, impact people or inspire people. And so the idea of wood came to mind because men like wood stuff. And so I was like, I could incorporate wood into my artwork. And so I got like a scroll saw and Dremel tools and all kinds of tools that I could use to manipulate wood. And I just started really experimenting, and I got a wood burning kit to experiment too. That's how the idea of wood burning came into my life. But back to the mechanical engineering deal, I like to make things and work with my hands. And a lot of my wood projects, they involve things like screws, lazy Susans, there's string involved, there's an ability to move the parts. Like, they can't see this, but on the back of the wall, I'm gonna show you. Can you still hear me?
Yeah, I can still hear you.
So this piece is on a lazy Susan.
Oh.
And it's also on a track, so it can go back and forth along the track.
So the audience can't see this, but one of the pieces that Amber just played with is a portrait, and on the lower left hand corner there is a face, and the face can slide back and forth from one side of the canvas to the other, and then it can also spin around. So it's a lot of thought and engineering behind that.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite pieces.
That's really neat.
Thank you. And so I try to do something different with each piece. Like, I really don't like to repeat the same process. I like to expose myself to different avenues of working with the pieces. There's also, I did one piece. It was you can't see this, but it's the African continent. And it is hinged with a poem inside. So there's like it's two pieces. One piece is hinged on top of the other, and it opens up to something that you can read. I'm trying to explain the best way I can, but.
Well, this is a perfect opportunity for anyone that's listening and wants to check out this piece, because it's on your Instagram. I believe it's one of the earlier pieces. If you scroll through your Instagram and go down to the beginning, I believe I saw it, but your Instagram is NicoleCraft575, and that's NicoleCraft575. But yeah, there's a lot of this work, including, I believe, the piece that you just showed me that slides. I believe that there's a flat version of that. So if anybody wants to go back through and look at these pieces, they're extremely interesting. And to see like what you're talking about now, I'm so happy you brought it up to describe it and the whole reason and the why of you're working with wood and that these are so interactive. That's extremely neat. I wanted to touch on one more thing on your woodcraft, because you do a lot of things, and I'm excited to get into all of it. But one more thing on your woodcraft, they're mostly portraits. Is there a process between that goes behind your choosing of your subject, your portrait subject? I mean, sometimes, you know, for me, it's just spin the wheel and, oh, that's the one I pulled that earlier that I liked it before. This is what I'm going to do today. But, you know, sometimes I really dive in.
I really do like portraits that show strong facial features, because I like to. And I like doing the masculine portraits, because they have strong features, and I like side profiles or front facing. And kind of what I do is I'll do like an outline, because when you're working with pyrography, you can't really go back. Like, you can't erase and start and, like, you know, correct a mistake. So when I start the process, I'll do like a carbon transfer of a sketch. Like, not all, you can't get all the details in, but you can outline the eyes and the beard and the nose and kind of place it on the wood before you actually start to go in and put in all the fine details. So it can be a process to get these things.
They're beautiful. They're beautiful pieces, and they're developed pieces. I like that about them. You know, they're, when you look at them, they are finished and they are ready to enjoy. I want to shift gears a little bit. You know, being artists, we have tons of ways to kind of let our creativity out. And one of after I initially became aware of Amber and what you were doing, I quickly found like your spoken word stuff, you know, and these videos of your spoken word poetry. And then I stumble across today when I'm going, you know, getting ready for the interview. I was like, what is Slim the Phoenix? And so I went and started listening to that. And you've got this beautiful, like almost, well, it's melodic and rap and ethereal and spoken word. And, you know, parts of it can be very calming and parts of it are very empowering and moving. Yeah, this too, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, I tend to explore a lot, like with my creative style. Like I tend to get bored easily, and so I shuffle through my different projects at different times depending on how I feel, and you know, as an artist, that's what we do. So Slim the Phoenix is kind of a past life right now, but it was when I was exploring a career in music. And I'm very proud of the work that I have done with it. So I did one song that I did, you might have heard, it is called Inquisitive Proposal. And there's a music video that goes along with it named One Destiny. And it's pretty much a song that describes me meeting someone that I want to spend my life with, but they're reluctant to engage in a relationship. And I'm trying to convince them of my love and how I don't care about their baggage. I don't care what is holding them back. Just take a chance and you'll see that we're destined to be together. So that's what that one was about. And there's also another one. It's space themed. It's I can't recall the name at the moment. Galactic Love. That's what it is. And it's got all of these, and you can look up the terms and they have actual meanings. Like there's black body, there's entanglement and all these spatial terms that are incorporated in that song. But it's also a love story about two people meeting and their lives intertwining. And it's just, I love it. I have the website, the YouTube site that it's on is called Introverted Entertainment right now. but we might can post some links or something to that. I don't know if we can do that.
Yeah, but, I'll try to put every link I can that we're talking about in any show notes. And normally there's a blog page up on the littleyellowbuilding.com that'll have a lot of this stuff in it too. Because I want to see the video. I didn't know there was a video. I found it on Spotify. You know, if anybody wants to listen to it, there's a link tree on your Instagram, and they can find a lot of this work in there. So the art started at a young age. Did the music and the writing, poetry and everything like that, did that start young too?
That started during my college years, because I wanted to write music, but every time I sat down, words wouldn't come, or I wanted to write poetry and words wouldn't come. So I finally was like, you know what? I got to get over this hump. I really want to do this. This is something I really want to explore. And so I first started the music, and then next came, I would write poetry, like different poetry in the past, but it didn't really develop until I started doing the music. And then out of that was born something that I'm currently involved in, which is with Equal Age Co. I do spoken word, short spoken word poems that I perform in order to raise awareness about different issues dealing with humans and human rights and different forms of activism. And it's just a way that I feel like people can be inspired and impacted.
That's a great transition into what the last thing I wanted to really, you know, talk to you about was, you have this massive project you're a part of called Equal Age Co. And it's fighting for equality and creativity. And that's a really important mission. What brought that about? That's a huge jump. It's like, hey, let's go tackle and change this. It's like,
yeah. So it's something that I've been wanting to do for a while, and I've played around with different ways to actually bring it to fruition, but it didn't click. Everything didn't click together and come and form some type of actual, I guess you could say, program to implement what I was trying to do until last year. But I have a passion for people being treated right and equally and with respect, and trying to form a community around that so that we can get more messages and more buy-in and more influence to effect positive change in our communities. And the goals of Equal Age are to, of course, raise awareness about all forms of human equality, not just racism, but freedom of religion, whether you have a physical or mental disability, ageism, just, you know, all these things that that separate us or cause us to be treated unequally. I was gonna say something else.
Well, you okay, had.
Oh, the other goal is to build community among creatives and leaders, and form like a type of network and a bond between people to solidify the goal of raising awareness.
Yeah. You had and you the scale of dysphoria between people just based on any aspect that doesn't look, feel, sound, or think like its own is a lot bigger than people think it is. You know, and it's something that's inherent that you don't always realize you're doing it. But until somebody puts it in your face and it's like, look at this, look at all of this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're bringing that to the forefront by showing these amazing, diverse, creative people in mostly in Mississippi, right?
Yeah, there's so far I've done 3 interviews of people in Mississippi, and I have more, but they're coming out later. And also I feature people from different parts of the country and around the world. Like there's a Faces of Equality post that I do, and that is people from all around. And I'm starting to do different spotlights. So there's one upcoming from an actress from the UK. Just anyone who has a passion can use their voice in these interviews and these spotlights to influence someone else, basically.
Yeah. Now, you had shared with me a little bit before the interview started that your own mental health journey has been a big part of your life and your art and your creativity. Would you mind sharing some of that with us?
Yeah. So I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder of type 1 in 2014. And I've been dealing with it throughout my life to a certain degree, but it really kicked off at the end of 2013 when I graduated from college. And so since then, life has really been a roller coaster, let me tell you, like just the finding the right medications to deal with it, going through the manic episodes and the depressive episodes, the highs and the lows. I've had some pretty bizarre things happen to me. you wouldn't think it by looking at me. Like people are like, you don't seem bipolar or you don't look bipolar or, you know, but you can't look at someone and, you know, tell these things. But I'm working on redoing a book that I wrote about my experiences with bipolar disorder. And it's a pretty complicated undertaking because I have to revisit those traumatic and painful times and try to relay it in a way that people can appreciate and learn from my experiences and my growth process and apply that in some way to their lives. And that's the whole reason why I want to write it, because I know there are people out there who have had experiences with mental illness that are very embarrassing, and they don't understand, you know, why did this happen to me? And so I just want to be able to share with them, this happened to me too. Like you can get over the hump of acceptance and getting on with life. Like this mental illness isn't the end. Bipolar disorder isn't the end. And so that's something that that's another undertaking that I'm currently working on.
Wow. I mean, okay. So visual artist, storyteller and poet, you've got a musician under your belt, documentarian, because I've seen your work with Equal Age. And these are, you know, these are little teeny tiny documentaries of these creatives. Author. So what's next? You know, you're going to try. Let's do Olympics next year. You want to think like
Right. So one thing that I had a small stint with background acting, and I like to share this story. So I was in the Amazon movie Troop Zero. I don't know if you've heard about that with Viola Davis.
Yes,
you can see my back. Like I was in there. You couldn't see my face, but you can see my back. But I got to be in the presence of Viola Davis on a few occasions, and wow, I wasn't allowed to like speak to her because they have their privacy. They are granted their privacy, but I did pass by her. And she really commands a presence. And one embarrassing thing that happened on the set of Troop Zero, like it was a really hot day and I had eaten too much. And we were outside doing a scene and I lost my lunch on set. And I had to be sent home.
Oh, no.
So I threw up on Viola Davis's set of Troop Zero.
Wow. Well, yeah. I mean, there's not a lot of claims to fame like that. So that's... You need to tell that story everywhere you go. Through the years, it can just develop into, I threw up on Viola Davis.
Right. It would.
Well, I want to thank you so much for being on and doing this. I want to get one last thing out of you before I let you go. I ask all the artists that come on, for those who are coming up behind us, are just those that are beginning out in their art careers. Maybe they're later in life, but they're still early in their art career. What's some advice that you have?
So first, I would say, don't doubt what you're capable of. Like, it may be hard in the beginning, but as you practice and you keep exploring and growing in whatever craft that you, or crafts that you decide to partake in, there's the evolutionary process that happens from beginner to intermediate to advanced. And in between all those stages, there is value in what you can produce, and it affects different people in different ways, but you can always get a sense of fulfillment and satisfaction in the things that you do. But don't give up, because that satisfaction and fulfillment may be delayed. It may be delayed. And if you give up, you won't get to that point where you create this beautiful piece of work that you can be proud of and share with others. So don't give up, and don't be afraid to try new things. Like, I've tried almost everything under the sun, and I don't regret any of it. So yeah, don't be afraid to try things, and don't give up.
Wonderful, just wonderful words of advice, especially from someone who has gone through and tried and done and been as active in many fields as you have. Because it's just, you know, if you want to do it, go try it. There's no reason to not try it. You know, right. Your own self-doubt is the only thing that's holding you back. This has been Amber Henry. If you want to find Amber Henry on Instagram, it's Nicole Craft 575. It's NicoLLecraft 575. And then also there's Equal Age Co. on Instagram. It's EQUALAGECO. And you can find that project on Instagram as well. Thank you for being with us and doing this and coming on and just sharing your life. I feel like every time that I get to experience another artist's life, it's a little bit, I grow every single time. And it's because of, you know, artists like you that want to come on and do this, that, you know, make that happen. So I really appreciate that.
No problem. My pleasure.
For everyone else, thank you for listening, and join us again next week.